Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from two technology experts. And that's not just what we call ourselves. That's what our moms tell people when they don't understand which phone to buy because it's so confusing. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, probably many questions this week after the new iPhone, and attempt to answer them to varying, We take questions from listeners and attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success. What did I miss there? I just completely threw myself off by trying to ad-lib. I can't do it like you.
I don't know what you missed.
What did I say? We take questions from listeners and attempt to varying degrees of success. Yeah, that was it, right? I didn't miss anything.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay. Got to give myself a little more credit here.
Yeah.
Okay.
You gotta believe in yourself.
Perfect.
You threw yourself off by just saying something other than the exact order of words that you're used to.
I know. I gotta sometimes you want to improv a little bit, but it's a skill in and of itself.
It is a skill. I remember back in the day when we used to have to look at the script that we wrote for it, and we'd forget.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Oh, and I forgot my mom is texting me a laugh or two along the way, right? We take question listeners.
Oh, you did fuck up.
So I did.
Dang, yeah. That's surprising.
There we go. I don't think it's that surprising. Wow. But I guess we don't have any laughs this week. I'm sorry, guys. We're going to be extremely serious.
Today, tears only.
Yeah.
We have to talk about the iPhone 16e because what are we doing? That's the number one question for this week. And I would say right out the gate, my top complaint with the 16e is that they just added more confusion for the least engaged group of consumers. That makes no sense.
Yeah, I think the real confusion that the 16e adds is they're saying you get the iPhone 16 experience, but with a lower price, right? But do you? I mean, you kind of do. You get Apple Intelligence, which I think is what Apple thinks is the most important thing, and you get some other things. But there's a lot of stuff missing from the 16e that is part of the iPhone 16 experience. It's really a confusing. And then the 15 is still there. That's the 15 still hanging around. So weird. So weird.
The fact that the 15 is better and worse is... it doesn't make sense. I made a TikTok about this because I was just laughing at how silly it was. Because if you buy a 16... I think the funniest part of that TikTok was trying to explain how it's actually very simple, right? The 16e has the A18 chip, the 15 has the A16 chip, and the 16 has the A18 chip with an extra GPU core. You get a notch on the 16e, a dynamic on the 15, dynamic island on the 16, but only the 16e and the 16 can do Apple Intelligence, the 15e, the 15 can't. And of course, as we all know, the 15 has a mute switch, the 16 and the 16E have an action button, but the 16E can do visual intelligence with the action button, the 16 can't, because the 16 has to use the camera control button, but there isn't a camera control button on the 16E or the 15, and the 15 has two cameras, but the 16E has a better primary camera than the primary camera on the 15, but no secondary camera like you would get on the 16 or the 15. What are we doing?
I think it's a pretty apt summary of how insane this lineup is right now.
And the thing is, they could have solved all of these problems by just making the 16E $499. That's it. Problem solved. It would have gone from hey, what? To okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like the fact that the 16E, first of all, that is as expensive as it is, plus the fact that they killed off the SE, which was that budget level phone, and now Apple doesn't have a phone at that price point anymore, plus the fact that it's $100 to go from the 16E to the 15 and another 100 from the 15 to the 16. Mm. It's a very crowded, like that sort of like mid tier ish market is like very crowded right now. The low tier entry level is gone, and it's just it's crowded and confusing in that mid tier right now.
Yeah, and the thing is, I was talking about this with Sam the other day. I really don't think there's that much demand in the mid-range of phones. I could be wrong. You know, last week we had a bunch of people in chat talking about how the U.S. market doesn't really want low-end phones. And I was actually talking to a friend of mine about the 16E, and she was very confused. She was like, I don't really understand the point of this thing. And so I asked, because she had a 15 Pro. So I said, well, what led you to buy the 15 Pro compared to the 15 last year? And the reason that she gave is exactly why the 16E was a bad move. She said she went into the Verizon store. She had an iPhone 11. They said, hey, we'll give you $800 towards your trade-in. And she looked at the 15. She didn't like the colors. She didn't want a colorful phone. She wanted a white phone. The 15 Pro came in white, and she liked the titanium, like the luster of the titanium side rails compared to the aluminum. That's it. Purely visual. Does not know what ProMotion is. Does not use all of the... I mean, I guess she uses the cameras, but doesn't realize necessarily that they're better. That's it. Just, hey, it looks nicer. And that's what was leading people to make those upgrades. So if that is where the average phone purchase, if that is the level of information that goes into a phone purchase, then there is way too many shades of nuance for this 16E. And I saw some people saying, like, obviously the criticism that we and a couple others have made is the 16E is too expensive. It should have just been $499. But rightfully, I think you could make the argument that the 16 would have been a bad value if the E was $499, because you would have said, well, why spend all that extra money if you can still get, maybe not most, but at least a good amount of features for $499? And I would actually argue, I think that's fair, I would argue to remove features to hit that price point. Straight up. Why are we redesigning the internal structure to get better, to get a larger battery? Why did they do that? They took the iPhone 14's screen and chassis, and then they're making all these modifications to it so that it gets better battery life than the 16, the regular? What? Why? Why are we doing that? Like, dude, we straight up disable visual intelligence. I don't care. Make it make sense at $499, because $599 doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think it's weird because they've already removed a bunch of features. They're not supporting a bunch of stuff that the other 16 phones have, and they're still calling it a 16E. They're not bringing attention to it. Like all these things, like, oh, it doesn't support ultra wideband, for example. It doesn't have Wi-Fi 7. It's like Wi-Fi, was it 6 or 6E or something? It's like like lesser. It has all these like little things. It doesn't support like the like home, was it Matter or something? There's like all these little things, and you know, the bin GPU core, all these little things that it doesn't support. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if they could have taken a couple other features off to hit that lower price point, or even if they didn't redesign the thing, I don't know how much time and effort and money it took to do that, but it's not free to do that, obviously. So like, if they didn't put all of that in and they could reach the $499, I don't think it would be that much worse than it is right now, because they've already done a bunch of things arguably kind of secretly. And then they would have that better price point if they can, and then it wouldn't be so crowded. It wouldn't be so crowded in the mid tier. And then, yeah, it solves that problem that the 16 is more differentiated, so it's like more worth it for people to go up to that. So, like, yeah, I think I think I agree with you.
Yeah, and then the other thing that we have to realize is this comment here: did us dirty with no MagSafe. What is that? here's why that's such a good point. I know a lot of people are, I've seen people say, it doesn't really matter. But here's the thing. I guarantee there will be people who are going to be buying a 16E coming from an iPhone 12, right? They bought that thing 4.5 years ago. Maybe the battery's going out. Maybe it's just feeling a little old. They don't need anything fancy. They didn't need it then, right? They bought the iPhone 12 because it was, you know, the mid-range phone. And they said, oh, well, I'll just buy, I don't need anything crazy. It's not like my phone is slow, but it's a little beat up and the battery is bad. I'm just going to buy the new one. I'll get the 16E because I guarantee people are going to see 16 and think, well, it's got to be better than 15, so I'll get that one, and it's cheaper anyway, so we'll just get the newer one. And then they're going to be like, wait a minute, why do all of my accessories not work? Why does the MagSafe wallet that I bought not work? Why does my phone charging stand that I have had since 2020 not work? Why on earth would they ship a phone without MagSafe when that has been standard on every new iPhone since 2020? What are we doing here? All they had to do to make this phone good was put an A18 chip in an iPhone 14 and chop off the ultra-wide camera. That's it. And they couldn't do that.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to create a lot of confusion, right? Because just remember this. This is the least expensive iPhone. This is targeting the people that are not like big tech people, right? Like if you're like really into tech, if you're a tech person, you're probably going to know these things, but like you're probably going to buy a more expensive phone anyways. Maybe you buy a cheaper phone, but like you know all these things. Most of the people that are buying these entry-level phones are people that are not big tech people, right? And so you wouldn't expect them to know that this feature that's been standard for so long is not going to be there. Because remember, it's the iPhone 16 experience, right? So iPhone 16 has MagSafe. Mm-hmm. So you're buying the iPhone 16 experience, but you're not getting the iPhone 16 experience. So you have all these things. You might already have these things, and they're just – they don't work anymore. And also, like – I feel like Apple likes MagSafe. Like, they have all these accessories. It, like, probably makes them a lot of money selling these accessories. And now all these accessories, the cases and the wallets and even, you know, I guess they don't do the battery anymore. But, like, all these accessories that Apple has and that third parties have, they're all not compatible. And I feel like it supports wireless charging, right? I think it's like a slower wireless charging, but it still supports it. So, like, could they not just put the magnet ring in there, and you could at least get some of the even if it's not the fastest charging, you still get some of the MagSafe experience, most of it.
Right. No, I mean, the fact that they are selling this thing at this price point makes those concessions inexcusable. I think when you look at the old iPhone SE, that also didn't have MagSafe, but it was $429. And when that thing came out in 2020, that made sense. Now, granted, that was also before MagSafe. So, like, that was when MagSafe was a premium feature. Even in 2022, I know people were annoyed about it, but I don't know. The fact of the matter is, if you put MagSafe in the iPhone 8 chassis, the battery would have lasted about 4 minutes. So, like, I get it. I get why they didn't do that. Yeah. And at that price point, you were buying a brand new flagship phone in an old box for $400. It almost didn't even matter. And by the third gen iPhone SE, I was already starting to say, maybe not. But the fact that they have just now completely abandoned the budget phone category feels like a big, big miss. Because the iPhone SE was really popular. I mean, obviously, we don't know how many of them they sold or how successful it was because Apple doesn't release model by model statistics for their phones. But I know people that have had multiple iPhone SEs. They will only buy SEs. People liked that phone because it was fast and cheap. That's it. That's all they care about, fast and cheap. And right now, I mean, honestly, I think that one of the biggest obstacles is that for $600, you can do a lot better than what the iPhone 6, even if you want an iPhone, you've got options. Let's pull up Amazon here, because I feel like your easiest choice is iPhone 15 Pro. I guarantee we can find these things for, I mean, look at that. Oh, there's a 14 Pro for $540, so that's cheaper already. They might have started selling out of these things. You can get a 13 Pro for $455. Honestly, I think that with 512 gigs of storage, that's not a terrible deal. I swear they had 15 Pros. They might have just gotten sold out, but I think that they had 15 Pros at that price point. Let's see if we can find them on somewhere else. iPhone 15 Pro. Boom. We've got $615 at Walmart. There you go. 128 gigs, so same storage. This is $16 more expensive than the iPhone 16e. And for that, you are going to get Apple Intelligence still. You're going to get a dynamic island. Still getting USB-C. It's not like this A17 Pro chip is going to feel any slower than the A18. You're getting two extra cameras, including a telephoto and an ultra-wide, titanium design, MagSafe, ProMotion. This is so much better for $17 extra. Bro, what are we doing?
Yeah, it's funny because we do these kind of comparisons a lot when we're talking about Macs. Like, you know, the new Mac comes out, we'll compare it. And I feel like we don't do it with iPhones super often. But it's 100% valid point. If you have the choice between a 16e and a 15 Pro for basically the same price, like, you're going to pick the 15 Pro every day. It has so much more. It has all the things that you mentioned. It has, you know, two more cameras. It has a nicer screen. Like, there's so much that the 15 Pro has over it for the same price, or basically the same price. It's like there's no reason that you should buy the 16e.
And if you're on T-Mobile, you can even find these crazy deals. Look at this: $425 for 15 on a refurbished T-Mobile locked phone. So that's why it's going to be cheaper. But like, again, to your point, we make these comparisons with the Mac all the time, all day, every day. And I mean, to some extent, I do understand that there are people who just straight up do not want to buy a refurbished or secondhand. You know, a lot of people just want to go into an Apple store and buy something new, have a warranty. They don't want to do that research and spend that extra effort. And that's why those deals exist. It rewards you for spending the extra time and being careful and going, okay, let me look at the options and evaluate this. But at the same time, I think that more than anything, this just sucks for people who don't want to buy a used phone, because they're going to go in, they're going to ask what the cheapest phone is. It's going to be the 16E, and they're not going to know that they're getting ripped off. They're not going to know that for the extra $100 to get the iPhone 15, you could argue that that's a better deal. They're not going to know that you could get a 15 Pro that's a way better deal. It just, I don't know, dude. It feels like it was close. But honestly, the thing that comes to mind the most is the 10th generation iPad. That's what this reminds me of. Because do you remember when that thing came out and it was like, hey, you got to use your old Apple Pencil with an adapter, and the screen isn't laminated, and it's kind of like a weird configuration, and it doesn't have a lot of the features that regular iPads have, but hey, it kind of looks like a regular iPad. And that, again, is the same thing. It's trapping people who aren't going to buy used or aren't going to, you know, aren't willing to spend that extra little bit of money, and they're buying an inferior product without even knowing it. And the thing is, they probably will end up eventually realizing it, you know? a year into ownership, they're probably going to start getting annoyed by things about this product and not really know how to verbalize what they don't like about it, because they won't know like the features that they're missing that they want. I just think it's too much complication.
Yeah, I think for me the worst, like the price is not great. You know, like we said, we want it, if they could make it lower, even if they make it a little bit worse, but make the price, you know, $100 less. But the worst thing for me, and we've kind of touched on this, but the worst thing is that it has 16 in the name. And like, I get it. It's whatever they're going to name it is a marketing decision. And they want to call it 16 because that's the latest phone. And maybe they're going to start doing this every year. That's kind of what it sounds like. Maybe they're not going to do it every single year, but it kind of sounds like they're going to be doing a new one every year, or at least more often than the SE. And so I get why it has 16 in the name, but they're going really hard with the like iPhone 16 experience with like, you know, less, like cheaper, like less expensive, but it really isn't. And that's the problem. Like, I don't know if you can call it deceptive marketing if you want. I don't know if you want to go that far. But like, at the very least, there are some things that are going to be, it's going to confuse people, because you're going to say like, oh, the camera control, that was the big feature for the 16 series, and this thing doesn't have it. And we've said like, camera control is not that great. Like, it's not that that's an easy thing for them to drop to make it less expensive by all means. But you know, even still, that was an iPhone 16 feature. You're getting an iPhone 16e. It's a 16. It's the 16 experience, whatever. But it doesn't have that. So that's confusion. The MagSafe is confusion. All these other little things we've talked about. It's just confusion. It's like bad marketing, or it's false advertising in a way. And that, I think, is the biggest issue with this thing.
There's another issue which was pointed out in chat here just a second ago here from eUploads. Do you think there will be a 17e next year? Because to your point, part of the way that they're marketing this thing is they're saying, hey, you're still getting the latest phone, but it's just like a little bit, I don't know what the E stands for, efficiency. Ooh, it's a refined, cut down version of the 16 with just the basics, even though it's really more of a 14, not even a 15. It's kind of a 14 plus minus in a weird way. Strange phone. But that does bring up the point. What happens next year? Are they going to sell? Dude, because we've also got the iPhone 17 Air in the mix here. So is the lineup for next year going to be 16E, 16, 17, 17 Air, 17 Pro? What the heck is that? What?
Yeah, I mean, when they bring the Air into the mix that we've been talking about, it's just going to be even, that's another like mid-tier-ish phone, because that's going to be somewhere between it's probably going to be where the Plus is right now, right? It's going to be between the regular 16 and the 16 Pro, probably. So it's like, it's just such a crowded segment, and it's already confusing. I'm sure the Air will probably make things even more confusing, because it's going to be kind of like the 17. It's going to be between the 17 and the 17 Pro, but it's going to be like, which features are they going to give it? Which features are they not going to give it? Like, whatever. It's already confusing. It's going to be even more confusing. It's kind of a mess.
Yeah, dude, I think what we're running into here is, I think we talked about this a little bit last week, but Apple's kind of, they're kind of going back to the way that they were in the 90s before Steve Jobs came back and simplified everything. And I think it's kind of a slippery slope that a lot of tech companies are getting into, because things are fairly saturated. And so what do you do? Well, you have to have more options to fit what the market wants. And we're actually seeing this with cars as well. Obviously, the market has been moving pretty dramatically into SUVs, right? And I think it's very interesting to look at the similarities there, because obviously people want SUVs, but it's gotten to a point where it's just entirely, completely overwhelming. Let me show you an example here. I remember very, I guess it would have been maybe 2008. That's when my, you probably remember this car. My parents got a Toyota Highlander Hybrid. All right. Now in 2008, that was at the very, very beginning of this increase of popularity of SUVs and an increasing level of segmentation within those categories. And how that started was, and this is, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think if you go back to the mid-2000s, you could pick a Toyota RAV4, that was their small model. There was the Highlander, which is what my parents got. And then you had the larger stuff, like I think they would have had a Sequoia, and then the 4Runner would be the off-roading version. So that's four core models. And then they also introduced the Venza, which was a weird sort of crossover, swoopy kind of premium car, which ended up not really being a very big success back then. And then they also had the FJ Cruiser, which was, again, kind of a specialty thing. So that's four core SUVs and two specialty interesting SUVs. Let me show you Toyota's website right now, all right? And this is very interesting, and I promise this makes sense in context of the iPhone. Look at all of these crossovers and SUVs. Holy moly, what are we doing here? So first of all, there's some duplication here because they're separating out the gas hybrid and plug-in hybrid, but you can right now go to a Toyota dealership, you can buy a Toyota Corolla Cross for like a very, very teeny tiny one. You can get a RAV4 for a smaller one. You can get a Highlander for a bigger one. You can get the, then they also have the Grand Highlander, which is an even bigger, but still not gigantic one. And then you get the Sequoia. Oh, but now there's also the Toyota Crown Signature. That's six. And then you've got the Land Cruiser. And then there's the BZ4X. And then the 4Runner. That's nine. Dude, that's nine different versions of these cars. And then you can subdivide that between hybrids and plug-ins. And this is too much. There's a lot going on here. And all of the car makers right now are doing this. BMW in the mid-2000s. X3, X5. That's it. Now, right now, you can go on BMW. You can buy an X1. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Are you kidding me? They took up all the numbers. What are we doing?
That is, yeah, that's really interesting, like, of a comparison to make. It, I see it, though. It's like, I guess in both cases, the company is identifying a segment that is, like, popular. And then they're being like, how many different products can we cram into this segment? And they're all slightly different, but like pretty similar. And then the other segments, you know, in the car case, like sedans, I guess, like are not as heavily prioritized anymore. And it's a shame.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I also forgot about the XM. So BMW has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Those are M versions. 7, 8, 9. Again, 9 SUV models. What? That's crazy. And I mean, honestly, I would even argue that the SUV parallel makes even a little bit more sense than what they're doing with the iPhone, because if you're buying a car, chances are you're going to be doing your research. And these are all different sizes, right? So, like, the main way that you can, for BMW, for example, you've got X1 is very small, compact, almost like a raised hatchback. And then the X2 and the X3 are very similar. The X2 is kind of confusing. What? It's like a coupe version that's kind of halfway between a 1 and a 3. So that's like a small medium. Then the X3, the X4 is a coupe version of the X3. Then the X6 is a coupe version of the X5. But it's just it. At the very least, you can kind of see the laddering going on here, right? You get larger car, more expensive, and more luxury with the higher number. But the iPhone, I think the problem is when you bring this level of model confusion onto devices that are comparatively a lot less expensive, right? You're buying a car, you're doing your research, you're going to watch videos, you're going to read an article, you're going to go test drive it, and you're going to like ask the dealer, what's the differences between these? You're also going to be able to physically see those differences a lot easier. Because when you go into a dealership, you're going to say, oh, the X1's a little small, I want more space, so an X3 makes more sense. Oh, but the X4 looks nice, so maybe I'll get that. That is kind of the typical car buying experience. But now, with the iPhone, people don't put that much thought into it. So you can't have that many different things that people aren't even going to know about. I've talked to people with an iPhone 16, and I've said, hey, what do you think about the camera control? And they say, what is that? I'm like, you have it on your phone, and you didn't even notice that the button was there? That is a true story, by the way. I had someone say, oh, I thought I have that on my 15. I said, no, that's the cellular antenna. Now it's a button. And they're like, oh, I didn't even know that was on my phone. That's the level that we're talking about here, and we're adding this much confusion.
I really think, I mean, based on what you were just saying with the sedans, it seems like they're just trying to pack this segment. If they do the Air this year, so you've got the E, the regular, and the Air, and they're all kind of around the segment, it seems like they're just trying to pack it with as many options as possible, and then when someone goes in, they're like, I want a new phone, they're like, I don't know, man, just pick one of these. They're all like, and then the 15 is still there. There's like, you know, there's right now there's arguably four phones in that segment. There's the 16e, the 15, the 16, and the 16 plus are all kind of around that segment. And so you go in and you're like, you know, just pick one of these. If you're willing to spend another $100, you can go up and it's maybe it's better, maybe it's a little bit worse. Like, who knows? But it seems like they don't even care anymore. They're just like trying to make these. They're like, what name an increment of 100 that you're willing to spend, and we will give you a phone. We don't care if it's better or worse than the other one. We have a phone at every increment of $100. Just name your price, and we'll give you something, and it's gonna work, and you'll be happy. And that's where they're at.
That's true. Because once you factor in the pluses and the Pro Maxes, it's literally $599, $699, $799. $899 for the 16 Plus, $999 for a Pro, $1099 for a Pro Max. It is every single increment of $100. That is hilarious. And to be honest, I mean, obviously, if they're doing it, then there has to be a business strategy behind it. And obviously, Tim Cook is pretty darn good at business. So, you know, there's clearly something that we don't know about consumer behavior that Apple does, because they have the research. So, you know, I feel like we should just put that out there as a prerequisite. But at the same time, I can't help but pontificate upon the notion that Apple in the early 2010s, when releasing an iPhone, had a degree of excitement and gravitas that they no longer have. And I can't help but wonder whether a component of that, let's call it fading of luster, is because they just have too much going on. If in any given year you are announcing minimum 5 different types of phones between 16, 16 Pro, Pro, 16 Plus, Pro, Pro Max, E, plus discounting the older ones. Holy heck, slow down a minute. I almost wonder if it would have been a better strategy overall to stick with what they used to do. Because remember the structure back in the day? When the iPhone 5 came out, they sold the iPhone 4S at a discount and the 4 at an even bigger discount. And I think they might even have still sold the 3GS at that point. Although, no, I think they usually sold the two previous phones. And that was also in a time where the phones lasted a lot less long, too. So if you were buying, if you were in 2013 buying an iPhone 4, you weren't getting that many years out of it. Let's be honest. But nowadays, you could totally sell a 14 Pro at a deep discount, and you know, people would still be able to get a lot of years out of that thing. That's the craziest part about this whole situation is, and maybe this is the challenge for Apple, right? We made the comparison to cars. There's a lot of people I know who will buy a car more frequently than they will buy a phone. That is not something that I think the world economy is really used to, if we're being honest, right? Like, that's weird, right?
Yeah, that is true. I mean, yeah, phones are lasting longer than they ever have. We've talked about this before. They're lasting longer. And so it does kind of change the, I don't know, the expectations that you get out of your phone or sort of the timeline for upgrading. Like, phones last a lot longer now. People are keeping them for a lot longer now. And so some of those established, I say established, like phones haven't even been around for that long, but like there are like established ideas of like upgrading your phone every, you know, two, three, you know, it used to be the 2-year contract and it was kind of the thing that you'd upgrade every 2 years. And now that's not necessarily the case anymore for a lot of people. So it is definitely a change.
Yeah. No, I think that's, and honestly, I think that is probably the root of the issue. Phones are lasting longer. So you got to do a bit more to get those sales. And I guess the answer is creating a super differentiated, very, very slightly different lineup so that at any price point, any person wanting a new phone can get something. Because, you know, I guess it's possible that somebody would walk into an Apple store, say, hey, I'd like to buy a new iPhone. I'd like to spend $600. And if they don't have a phone at that price point, maybe they'll just not buy one. So, you know, it's possible that that is a part of it. I just find it very confusing. I don't think that as a long-term strategy, it's going to end up working out well. Because here's the thing. We are only, let's call it 6, maybe 7 years removed from when a new iPhone was a huge deal, right? We're talking about iPhone 10, maybe iPhone 6 as the last like huge gangbusters iPhone launch. So I guess that was 10 years ago. But still, 10 years ago, Apple releasing an iPhone was a gangbusters event. Everyone knew that it was happening. Everyone, I mean, I'm talking my grandparents knew, and they don't know anything about technology. They don't know the first thing. My grandfather accidentally opened a new tab. He had to call me on the phone because he opened a tab and he got scared because he didn't know where the internet went. You know, and even they would have heard about the new iPhone. Now, people, even young people like our age, are going, what number are we on? I can't keep track. There's too much going on. Maybe it's just because technology is more normal now and it's less cutting edge. Or maybe it's because the excitement has worn off. I don't know.
I definitely think it's both. And I think, yeah, I really think it's both. The phones, we've said this, but the iPhones have not been particularly exciting in a while. It's been very incremental for at least the past few years, arguably longer. So I agree. It really is that thing where you kind of start to lose them. Because if you put, I don't know, especially because like the lower, like the non-pro phones kind of look like, they kind of all look pretty similar, and it's like you put like an iPhone 12 next to an iPhone 16 and it's like kind of different but not that different. You put an iPhone 12 next to an iPhone 16e, like, I don't know, it's not that big of a deal. Like, they all look very similar. There's you know, each year you get one or two big features, so a 12 to a 16 is obviously a big difference, but like incrementally year over year, it's not that big. So year over year, you don't pay as much attention to it anymore. So I definitely agree. I think it's it is inevitable, you know, in a way that the iPhone is now very mature. So you're not going to be getting, you know, like the iPhone 3GS to the 4 to the 5 to the 6. You're not going to really be getting that anymore. But it is also, you know, it's a shame that it's not as much fun anymore as it used to be.
The thing is, I think you're right. And it is tough because I don't really know. To be fair, with the iPhone 16, I don't really, or the 16e, I don't really think that there's a whole lot that you can do to make it exciting. I don't think it ever really was going to be. But you could still make it good. And I really think that if they had just done $499, no redesigned battery or anything like that, definitely have MagSafe. And I don't know. I feel like there's a couple features that you could cut. What would I cut? Oh, honestly, I would cut the 48 megapixel camera. You know what? I just realized something, Noah. Because I was confused at first. I was like, why are they doing the 48 megapixel? With this update, they have now completely stopped manufacturing any of the non-48 megapixel main sensors. Because I'm pretty sure the 15 got one. And I might be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure it is. So I think that every iPhone they sell now comes with that 48 megapixel main sensor. So that probably is why they kept it, because they didn't want to keep manufacturing some, you know, the older type. Let me check on this before I sound like a fool. I'm on the comparison page here. Yeah, it does have the 48 megapixel main.
You were right.
Now, what's really funny, dude, what's actually hilarious to me is that they call it the 48 megapixel Fusion on the 16, but the 48 megapixel main on the 15. I don't want to say something that is wrong, but I don't think there's really anything that different about the Fusion. Couldn't the 48 megapixel always do that 2x crop?
I thought that was like the whole point when they introduced it, that it could do the 2x crop.
Right?
Yeah. I think you're right.
Let me look this up. We got to fact check this. 2x zoom. Because it does. The 15 and 15 Plus has the 2x zoom because of the 48 megapixel sensor.
Mm-hmm.
So that, dude, that makes me mad. It's the same freaking camera. Hang on a second. I got to share this tab. This is so stupid. This is the kind of stuff that Apple is pulling right now that is just confusing people and pissing off people that know what they're talking about, but confusing everyone else. Because look at this. They call it the dual camera system, 48 megapixel main ultra wide. Then for the 16, they call it the advanced dual camera system, 48 megapixel fusion, 12 megapixel ultra wide. And then the iPhone 16e, they call the 2-in-1 camera system, 48 megapixel fusion. And yet all of those have the 48 megapixel with the 1 and the 2X. So why do all three of them have different names, dude? What are we doing? Come on.
It is really... I also love that they're like the 16 and the 15 have next generation portraits, and the 16e does not have that.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, and the photographic styles doesn't have the latest generation. Like, I don't even know what that means, but like,
so I think that might be what they mean with the Fusion. The Fusion, I think, is referring to, it's too much, dude. Somebody in chat here just put it in. It's computational photography, but it's like...
But the 16e has a 48 megapixel fusion camera, just like the 16 has a 48 megapixel fusion camera. So like...
Correct.
So like, why does the 16e
not have the next gen? But the advanced dual camera... That's a good point. I think the depth control might use the difference in perspective between the main and the ultra wide as part of its computational like layering thing.
I can understand.
Look, someone in here is proving the exact confusion. They say it has built-in 2x optical zoom as well. No, but they all do. Every single one of these has 2x zoom. And you can see it down in the bottom. They all say, 1 and 2x. Oh, we actually didn't need to look it up. It said it right down there. Oops, I'm kind of dumb. But, like, the fact of the matter is, you and I literally cover tech news. The people in chat are the most engaged tech enthusiasts that you will find. They are watching an hour-long podcast where we talk about tech. And even then, you have confusion in this chat about what exactly it means. Someone hears, isn't it about layering photos and exposures? Someone said, it's a smaller sensor, though. Does the 15 have a smaller sensor? It's the sensor from the ultra-wide, so smaller and without sensor shift. So does it... But did sensor shift come on the 15? Was that on the Pro? Fusion is about computational photography. Someone said, what the heck does that even mean? We are literally, there's 161 people watching right now. So there's 163 of the most engaged technology enthusiasts possible using, and we're talking about not even just, this is not a phone that came out years ago. We're talking about the current phone and one previous model, and we still don't know what the heck is going on. How can anyone possibly make heads or tails of this?
Yeah, it really is a mess. And I guess the thing is, at the end of the day, the people that are buying the lower level phones, I guess they don't need to, like, if they go into the Apple store, they say, I want a new iPhone, and they get a new iPhone. I agree with you that the 16e is not a good deal. And they're, you could argue that they're getting ripped off and, you know, whatever you want to say. At the end of the day, those people are going to go in to the store, they're going to get a new iPhone, and I guess they're going to be happy enough. And I guess Apple's okay with that. I don't think they should be. I think we don't think that they should be. They should care a little bit more about their customers, do a better job of, you know, explaining these things, making them less confusion, segmenting, you know, these products better. But I guess Apple is content to have it this way because they're still going to sell iPhones and customers are still going to be happy enough. So, you know, I guess they're fine with this confusion. It's a shame, but I guess they're fine with it.
That's true. I will say, though, I think you're right that there are people who just don't, you know, they're not going to care. They're not going to really want to know the differences. But the thing is, there are still going to be people who want to know what phone is best for them. Because, like, whenever I help my parents get a new phone, you know, I was talking to my mom. We were at the Apple store, and I was trying to explain all the differences. And to be fair, most of them are things that she doesn't care about. So, you know, that's fine, right? There's certain things that just it doesn't matter. But for her, she wanted to know what the differences were because she wanted to feel confident that she was making the right decision for what she actually needs and for what she actually wants. Because she doesn't buy a new phone that often. She was upgrading from the iPhone 12 to the 16. So she had that phone for 4 years. She wanted to make an informed decision when buying a new one. And the problem is it's really hard to inform people about these devices now. Because we're the 163 people, sorry, 169, nice, that we have now. You know, these 169 people, I'm 100% positive, go home and help their family members make decisions about the products that they want or need. And the fact that we can't keep this all straight, the fact that we can't make heads or tails of this lineup, just makes it just even more of a pain than it already was. Like, I mean, especially with the camera, the camera is bothering me. Someone here said the 16E has the smaller sensor from the ultra wide of the 16 Pro. What? How is this the first that I'm hearing about this? How many different versions of this 48 megapixel camera are there? If Apple, so here's the thing. When it comes to the camera specifically, I think Apple needs to apply some of the same logic to their model numbers that they're doing here, because they have way too much confusion. Like, it's genuinely hard to tell, even as someone who studies and watches all the keynotes and makes videos telling people what's in the keynotes, for there to be seemingly every single iPhone with those 48 megapixel cameras has a different variation of it. I'm pretty sure that is the case. I think maybe the 14 Pro has the same version as the 15. But the 15 and the 15 Pro are slightly different. I think the 15 Pro and the 16 Pro are slightly different. And maybe the 16 has the same one from the 15 Pro. But, like, can we maybe just try to simplify this a little bit? Maybe calling it, like, I don't know. I feel like they have to, like, market that sensor, or say, like, this is the 48 megapixel plus, and that one has photographic styles and sensor shift, and 48 megapixel regular doesn't, or, you know, just something like that, that would just make this a little bit more digestible.
I completely agree. It is a problem. And, you know, whatever I said before, like, I was basically saying, and so let me elaborate on what I was saying before, because there's a comment here from Elizabeth, and it says, suggest to stop using Apple marketing verbiage. Just say what it is, what it does. That should be enough to get into the weeds. So I completely agree with that. The thing is, I think Apple is very – well, I don't think – I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that Apple is very selective in what they include in their marketing and what they don't. So, for example, they say that the 16E has an A18 chip, right? Well, it has one less GPU core than the 16 series, the rest of the 16 series. 16 is part of that. Okay. So it has one less GPU core. Does it have an A18? Yeah, mostly it does, but it's not the exact same. It's not quite as powerful as the A18 that are in the other phones. Mostly fine, but, like, on the Mac, they point that out. They say how many cores, you know, how many CPU cores, how many GPU cores. They don't do that on the phone. They're kind of hiding that, you could argue. Same thing with the camera. All of these things have a 48 megapixel camera. They're highlighting the 48 megapixel because that looks good. That's a good number for them. Okay, the size of the sensor, the fact that the 16E has a smaller sensor, it's, like, not as wide, or the aperture, whatever. I'm not a camera expert. Whatever the difference is, the 16E's camera is worse. And so the thing that makes it worse, Apple is deliberately not advertising. They're advertising 48 megapixels because they're all 48 megapixels, and that's a good number for them. And they say the 16E has this great 48 megapixel sensor, just like the other iPhones. It does the 2x zoom just like the other iPhones, whatever. But they don't talk about the fact that it's a worse camera. They're hiding that part from the marketing, and they're doing it on purpose because then it makes the phone seem better than it is. It has an A18. It has a 48 megapixel camera. They're not telling you about all of these little things. So the marketing is very much on purpose, right? That they're marketing the parts that they want to show, and they're hiding the parts that they don't. And that's what makes it so tricky for us, because we can ignore the marketing and try to say the exact numbers and stuff. But it's hard to do that, because when you look these things up, you look at Apple's website, you look at that other resources, it's easy to, like, throw around the terms that Apple is using. And if you're a consumer and you're looking these things up, the first thing you're going to see are the terms that Apple is using. It's hard to keep track of all of this stuff. And Apple is doing that on purpose to make their phones seem better than they are, to make the marketing, you know, easier for them. That's the problem.
Yeah. No, I think you're exactly right. The marketing is becoming, and I think you can kind of tell that Apple doesn't communicate very well between the teams. I think that is really starting to show, because you know we've kind of talked about this a little bit, and it's entered the public perception to some degree over the last few years. But the iPhone, the internal structure of Apple is designed to prevent leaks. So everyone is kind of working on their own thing. You know, I've talked to people who have worked in the chip side of Apple, and they don't know what even component of a chip that they're working on. Like they'll maybe work on, let's say, neural engine stuff. You don't know if you're putting a neural engine in an iPhone or in, you know, like an M4 MacBook, right? There's a lot of levels at which the people working on these products are siloed so that nobody actually gets a complete picture of what they're working on. And I think that is showing with these marketing, this confusion, because you've got these separate teams working on different aspects of marketing without being able to communicate with each other. And so you end up with like a marketing strategy on one product category that isn't reflected in another. And that's just very different from how it used to be under, you know, the mid-2000s under Steve Jobs. And partially that's because there's just a lot more products, right? Back then, Apple was just making a couple laptops, a couple desktops, and iPods, basically. You know, even the early iPhone days and the iPad, there weren't nearly as many products as there are now. But when you have all of these different teams working on products and not knowing how everything fits in together, that's a recipe for all of this confusion. And it's probably why it feels like each product category kind of reacts to the other ones rather than feeling like there's a strategy behind the whole thing.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think when we're already seeing it with the 16E, I think when the Air comes in, you know, if and when the Air comes into this, I think that's another, you know, point that we're going to see this, where I agree there's probably different teams mm-hmm. that are working on these things, and they know, you know, where they're, what they're doing, they know about their product and where it's going to go, but they don't know about where how it's going to fit into the overall landscape, right? And obviously there are some people at Apple that do, they're probably pretty high up to have that information, but when you're in a company that has a very tall hierarchy and it's someone like very high up at the top that knows these things, and they can't communicate them down because it's, you know, it's a secret and they want to prevent leaks and whatever. It's hard for someone that's that high up to be involved enough in the day-to-day work and the decision making to steer everyone in the right direction. So the people that know what the overall lineup is going to look like are too high up to actually do what needs to be done to make the lineup fully make sense. And the people that are actually making the decisions and doing the work to create their part of the lineup don't have the full picture, and then it doesn't fit, and it creates this confusion.
You're right. I think that's a great point. It's like this weird blend where it's a vertically integrated company. They control every single level, even down to now the modems in these things, right? That's talk about vertical integration. And yet, along that vertical path, there's so many different gaps, to your point. And I get why they have had to do that. And I definitely, you know, look, as much as we like leaks, I can see how if I was Apple, I would hate that, because I would want to be the one to tell you about the crazy cool new features that we just worked on. I don't want that being done by some random person on the internet. I want to be the one to say, this is what we've been doing. How incredible is that? But the problem is, in trying to chase and eliminate that, I think they've introduced other problems that make the devices themselves a lot less interesting. So it's kind of a catch-22.
Yeah, it overall is a problem. And you know, it's interesting because I didn't think about it from this perspective until you brought it up, but I absolutely agree that I think this has a lot to do with the confusion. There's just not the right communication and the right decision making just isn't happening right now, and it's causing these weird issues. I think we have a tendency to think, right, Apple's a big company. They're extremely wealthy as a company. They've been around for a long time. You know, we love all this stuff. You cover them for a living, whatever. So it's very easy to have this thought that, like, Apple is this smart company, and they do everything for a reason, and they know everything and whatever. And to an extent, that's probably true. They probably do. But also to an extent, they probably don't, right? The people that they're it's people that are making the decisions, and the people that are really doing the core work are, you know, lower down. The VP, I'll tell you, like, I work in big tech, obviously not at Apple, but I work in big tech. And so I've seen things like this with my own eyes where, like, you know, the lower level people, I'm a software engineer, so I'll be, you know, working on a project, writing code. I'm one of the people actually, you know, writing the code. When you go up to the VP level, that person has a very vague idea of this overall project, and they hear about it maybe every so often. They get the high level notes, they get a demo, they say, are you going in the right direction or not? But they're not involved in all of that day-to-day stuff. And I think, you know, I agree with you that's kind of what is going on at Apple. So we give them a lot of credit, and they deserve a lot of credit, but, like, you have to remember that it's a giant company, and these kinds of things are inevitable when you're talking about a giant company like this.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It's kind of a fact of life. I don't know. I'll be interested to see what the resolution is. You know, theoretically they could just keep on going like this forever. Who knows? They might, but I suspect eventually something is going to have to give. You know, I think that with the pace that we're going at now, one has to speculate that eventually some of the goodwill and the excitement of, oh, it's a new iPhone, will probably start to fade. And I think there will come a time where Apple is going to have to reinvent themselves to recapture that excitement and get people interested again. Because the problem is right now, you know, it's not necessarily that Apple is losing market share to other phones. I think when a lot of people get an iPhone, they're pretty much hooked on it. But I think the problem might eventually become, once you've saturated that market, once everyone's got a phone, and, you know, there's a lot of people who they'll just only buy a used iPhone. There's a lot of people like us who will buy the new one every year, even if we're a little annoyed about it. And there's a lot of people who will just keep their phone for like 6 years. And after 6 years, they'll buy a refurbished one. I mean, I've started to see that. I've started to see a lot of people who, let's say they have, like, I think somebody in the chat pointed out they still have an 11 Pro. Here it is. Have the 11 Pro and is still happy with it. I know a lot of people who, let's say they bought an 11 Pro or a 12 Pro or a iPhone, maybe just a regular 12, something like that, and they bought it brand new from Apple. But now they don't really feel like buying a new phone from Apple. They're saying, well, maybe I'll just... I actually know someone who had an 11 Pro and downgraded and bought a regular 13. And they bought it used, so Apple didn't even get that sale. And you have to think, as people, you know, maybe a couple of years ago or right now they're buying the new one, but maybe in a few years they won't care, or they won't feel like it's any different, and they'll just say, I'll just buy something used, or I'll buy the lower tier, or any number of different options like that. Those are all hitting Apple's bottom line, because they had a pro customer that turned into not a customer, right? Who knows? Does that reach a point where it affects them enough to change? I don't know, but it's definitely an interesting observation.
Yeah, and I feel like for me, you know, I have the 16 Pro Max here, and I bought it, and, like, you know, at the end of the day, I gave my 15 Pro Max to my dad. He had a 10S Max, so he was really, you know, holding on for dear life until he got that new phone. So I don't necessarily regret buying this thing, at least for that reason. But, like, I don't know, man. If the 17 is this phone with, like, a bigger camera bump and, like, maybe something else, like, am I going to buy it? I guess maybe because I'm stupid like that. But, like,
yeah.
I don't know, same, man. I know you're going to buy it because you cover, it's your job to buy it and cover it and stuff. But, like, I mean, realistically, I'm going to buy it, but if I do, I'm probably not going to be very happy about it, which is a shame because in the past, it's like exciting. I've had every phone since the 12. I had the 12, 13, 14, 15, and now 16. And those other phones, there was at least something, like, I don't know. There was at least something, and now it's just like, I don't know. It's so not exciting anymore. And I think maybe the Vision Pro was supposed to be that thing that would get people excited, because we mm-hmm. were excited about the Vision Pro, and it was exciting when it came out, and we, you know, we got it on launch day and we tried it out, and that was like genuinely so exciting. And of course the product was not very good. It was kind of half baked, whatever. And hopefully Apple doesn't give up on that. But like, that was supposed to be the big thing, and it kind of, I don't want to say it flopped, but like it kind of wasn't what we were hoping that it was going to be. You know, when it came out,
I think you could say that it flopped.
I mean, I haven't heard
that's a stretch.
We haven't heard much about it since it came out. So I kind of agree with you there. But I don't know. It's just,
I mean, look,
it's
they
shame.
Put Apple Intelligence on it, and the Apple Intelligence that they put on it doesn't even get the new Siri animation. So it's got the old animation, because I guess, you know, that's another great example of it, right? They make this whole Apple Intelligence thing. Well, Apple Intelligence, the whole like animation for Siri is based on the borders of a screen, and it doesn't have borders. No one thought ahead and thought, hey, what happens when we need to do that? Uh-oh, we just use the old animation. What? It's just weird.
Ugh, I could go off about Apple Intelligence. I want to, first of all, I don't even have Apple Intelligence because my phone is in Spanish and it's not supported. So I don't even have Apple Intelligence. I've literally never used Apple Intelligence, any of those features, emoji, what is it, the notification summaries that are notoriously bad. I've never used any of that stuff. But yeah. And I don't feel like I'm not. I feel like
it's
I'm not
dumb.
Missing that much.
It doesn't do anything.
But like, and I think that had a lot to do with the 16E being the way that it is. The fact that they had to put enough memory in there to support Apple Intelligence, because if they're doing the 16E, because Apple Intelligence is the big thing that they're pushing, that's their, even though it sucks, at least right now it sucks, and AI in general sucks. I could go off about it, but
I hate AI.
It's so,
dude,
it
we gotta
ruins
do a whole
everything.
Week where we just pop off on AI. Yes, it's just,
oh my god,
dude. There are people that use it. There's certain use cases of it where I'm like, okay, sure. But like, by and large, and dude, I've started, we're running overtime here. Yeah. So we got to wrap this up. But I will say this, I think I'm reaching the point where I'm going to start tapering the number of AI brand deals that I do. I've got a couple ones in the pipeline, but I'm starting to get to a point where I'm like, I don't want to advertise this anymore. No. And it's hard because that's a lot of the brands out there that are doing influencer marketing are AI brands. So it's gonna hurt. It's gonna be hard to find ways to fill those videos, but I'm starting to reach that point where I'm like, if it's a product that contains an AI feature, maybe I'll let it slide, but like for pure AI, I'm getting near the end of the rope on that one.
I mean, everything these days has an AI feature because AI is the big thing. But I don't know, dude. It's,
for what?
It's good.
I think it's the only technology revolution that seems to be driven only by and for other tech bros. I don't think any real people care.
We could go off in a whole other thing about it, but the The last thing that I want to say to I guess bring it back to what we were talking about is the 16E has to support Apple Intelligence because that's Apple's big thing that they're pushing, but they had to put more memory in there because, you know, because of Apple Intelligence and probably the action button too. And I don't know if that's more expensive or more whatever. I guess they had to put that in the thing, but like they advertise that you use the action button to do the visual intelligence or whatever, which still is now, but whatever. They have to support that. So they're like, we got to put the action button on there because you have to have a way to launch visual intelligence and this thing doesn't have the camera control, so we need the action button. I feel like a lot of it with that price has to do with the fact that it, and a lot of the decisions they made have to do with the fact that it, that they wanted to support Apple Intelligence and be the big thing. Maybe they didn't want to price it too low to make Apple Intelligence that accessible, or maybe it's because some of the parts they had to put in were a little bit more expensive to support it. Whatever it is, I think that had a part, the Apple Intelligence had a part in it being the way that it is in a bad way. That's my take.
That's a good take. I think you're right. I really do.
I don't know.
Dan. That's a great thought on which we unfortunately have to end. Mm. And I think we'll be back next weekend. I don't have any conflict next weekend.
I should be here, yeah.
Whoa, 3 in a row? This is nuts.
This is huge. Maybe we'll go off on AI this is, next week.
Well, you know what? Yes, I think let's do it because next week's going to be after the iPhone 16e is out. So we'll have a little hands-on experience. Mm. We'll talk about it a little bit. And then I think we should pop off on AI.
I think it's time to do that. That would be great.
I can't wait to get your take because you have such a like, because you're a programmer. Like this is very, very up your alley and you will have sort of behind the scenes info that I think a lot of people will appreciate.
Sure.
So yeah, let's do that. Next week, we'll cover the 16E. I don't suspect there's going to be a whole lot of curveballs on it, but we'll cover it, and then we're going to go off. So get subscribed. You already are, almost certainly, if you're watching this.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what. I've been your host, Luke Miani.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin. We will see you next week, and have a great night.